We want to bless you. And we do that by just coming and saying, we need you. I just love it, Lord, that you love to be needed. And we are needy people. So just this morning, whatever need you come with, it can be a tiny thing, it can be a great big thing. Just offer it to the Lord. Ask for his help. He hears our cries. And then just let him know you bless him in the midst of it all. In your name, Lord, amen. Amen. You can be seated. See if we're... Well, good morning. It's great to be here. I've been getting reports from the men's retreat, and they are having a wonderful time. And as many of you know, a few months ago, really, I think it's just a few months, we had it sort of an unplanned kitchen remodel. And the whole time I was going through it, I kept seeing metaphors for my spiritual life. And I was taking notes and thinking, I really should blog about this. And when Joe asked me if I'd do the message today, I thought, oh, perfect, now I have a chance to share it. So there were like 16 things. And probably more, and there's still more, but I cut it down to just four, and that's what we're going to talk about. But before I do, I do want to say one more announcement, is that our women, you get the chance to meet Candy Pfeiffer. Candy, would you just stand up real quick? This is our new associate pastor's wife, and we are so blessed to have her. I've known Candy for a lot of years, and I want you to know her. And you're going to be so blessed, and you'll get a chance next Saturday, and you'll also get to see my kitchen remodel. But it's only women from 1 to 3 next Saturday. You'll get to visit with Candy, and we'd love to have you come. The information's there in your bulletin. So I want to begin this morning with a question, and it's this. If you knew at the beginning, when you first thought about following Jesus, of the kinds of transformation he was going to take you through, the kinds of renovation of your heart, the kinds of tough stuff he'd put you through to get you there, would you have so readily said yes? Now, I know that it's very easy to give a real quick spiritual answer to that and say, oh, yes, Jesus is worthy, I love him, yes, it's worth it all. But I really want us to sort of wrestle with that question a little bit this morning. Because if we don't, the problem is we may be sitting in sort of a low-level followership. You know, maybe we heard as a child that Jesus could come into our hearts, and so we're sort of sitting with that, and that's enough. Or maybe we heard he has a wonderful plan for our lives, and we're out there trying to find it, and that's really all it's about. But heart renovation is a whole lot more. And Jesus actually called it counting the cost. Maybe you haven't even decided to follow Jesus. That's okay. This is a good message for you to hear, because he told us to think about these things before we said yes to him. So that's what I want to share about this morning. And I'm going to do, the verse, my key verse is Romans 12:2. We're all familiar with this verse. If we've walked with Jesus very long, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the verse before that is where it says, you know, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And it basically is saying, look, this is the reasonable thing to do. If you're going to worship God, you've got to just lay yourself on the altar, say you can have all of me, right? But then this verse tells us how it actually happens. And that verse, renewing, is a word that means renovate. It literally means fixer-upper. He's going to demolish. He's going to deconstruct. He's going to rebuild. He's going to redesign. He's going to redecorate and make a beautiful thing. And that's the word. But there are times in our life when it really feels like a wrecking ball. Seasons when God just seems to come in and just create all kinds of struggle and chaos and difficulty. And God's always working in our lives. But these are really intense, important times. And really, that's what this word, renewing of your mind, is talking about. And so this morning, I want to talk about that. And I'm going to do it in three ways. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my own story of a time when God was putting me through that kind of time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about one of the disciples named Peter. I love Peter. I so get his sort of awkward bumbling as he's trying so hard to figure it out. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, and then I'm going to show you my kitchen remodel. So this is like a fixer-upper show. So you get to see it from beginning to end. But before I do that, last year I was in an up-and-out group, which, by the way, if you haven't signed up and you haven't done this, sign up. We're going to launch those in a few weeks, so you don't want to miss it. But I was in a group with amazing three women, and one of them went through one of these kinds of times. And I watched it before my eyes. And I asked her if she would come and share a little bit. I'm just going to interview her. So, Robin, come on up here. This is Robin Miller. And she's never done this before. So let's give her a hand of warm welcome. Okay, so you think you can hold it? You want me to hold it? Okay. So, Robin, I want to just start by asking you what... Well, I'm going to do something first. You'll hear about this in a minute. I will say this. Robin's an artist, and I loved UIO because she would always bring pictures of what we were learning, and we would all get pictures to help us connect with the principles. It was great. So, Robin, how did you know? What was the indicator to you that God wanted to do some kind of a work in your life? Are we on there? Okay, I have to turn you on. It's not your fault. On the sign. Let's try that again. All right.
I became really aware of the walls in my life. Some of those walls I had made, and some of those walls I had inherited, and I learned that those were strongholds. And they were preventing me from getting close to God. I would try, and there was always these walls around me that I couldn't get around or over, and I was tired of this. These people kept saying, you can be with him, you can be in his presence, and I couldn't. We do things where we would envision us seeing it, and God sat right over there, and I was fine sitting here, and I'd wave at him every once in a while, but I could not get over there to him.
And so when you began to, and I remember this very well, and so I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to tell something on you if you don't tell it, but how did you feel when you began to realize God wasn't going to let you stay in that place anymore?
I knew they had to come down. I knew. But I was so scared because I was so comfortable in those walls. If you guys watch those home shows, I had shiplap up. I could change the colors of those walls. I could do subway top. Sorry, you know which show I like to watch. But anyway, I was comfortable in there. I knew that place. But he kept at me. And I knew they had to come down. But I could not do it. I couldn't do it.
I actually remember the meeting where she finally said, there's a wall, and it won't come down. And I'm not sure I want it to come down. So that's kind of what she's saying is the process. So, but at some point, you said yes. And then what are the kinds of things you did to sort of move along in that process?
So there was three S's I came up with. And the first one was sign up. So my husband went through this whole thing with me, but it's just the I part of me today, so because he's on a mountain. But I signed up. I signed up for UIO first, and then the JMs happened, and I signed up for them. And then Vicki and Roy's class happened, and we signed up for that, and I just kept signing up for whatever New Hope had. I signed up, and then I surrendered. Scared and prideful and everything. I said, okay, God, I'm going. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm going to go. And I know you're going to meet me there. And every time he just, exploded. He opened things up. He tore things down. He took the wrecking ball at me and just began to break it all down and get rid of it. And every single thing we signed up for, God built upon that thing, and he confirmed, and he just made himself more known to us, to me especially. And then, sorry.
Because I got two S's, but I'm not sure I heard the third.
And then I sat in it. I just sat in it, and I tested it, and I failed, and I was like, nope, I'm getting up, and I'm trying this again. And I just kept at it, and I'd sit in it, and then I started to feel his presence. I started to sit with him. I started to sit on his lap, and sorry, it was just... It was amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, there's your 3-point sermon, right? Sign up, surrender, and sit with it. I love it. If that's all you get today, that's enough.
Okay.
But I want to ask you one more thing. Why don't you share with us maybe one thing you learned about yourself and one thing you learned about God?
Okay. You see that picture up there? Mm-hmm. That's what I learned. I learned I was free. I was that black, inky bottle. And I had all that beauty, all that color, all that fun, all that in me, and it exploded. And not black ink came out, but every single colored pencil I had was on there, and I just exploded, and I'm free. And then I'm going to skip back. And what I learned about him is he's my new stronghold. He's standing behind me with these arms around me, protecting me and loving me so amazingly. He's also got his arms wide open, just holding all that back from me and just protecting me. And then he's pushing me and he's fighting alongside me. So he's my new stronghold. And my walls are gone.
Okay, I just have
no.
I just want to show you, not just because I want you to see, so often we limit God. We think you have to be like somebody. And Robin's gift is art. And she has gifted the church with this. And we've been gifted. If you ever sit in a group with her, and now you got to have a gift. These were her notes. She just looked at the picture. Those were her flashcards. So thank you, Robin. That was beautiful. All right, so renovation of the heart. Point number one, it starts so simple, but one thing leads to another, right? If you've ever done any remodeling, you know this is true. For us, it began 2 years ago when I decided, because somebody recommended, to look on Craigslist for kitchen cabinets, because we couldn't afford to just hire someone and do a new remodel. And I looked for 2 years. And one, it was on a Sunday morning, I remember, that I opened it up, and there were the cabinets I knew were for my kitchen. I was just sure of it. And the truth is, I was very naive, because in my mind, you just took the old cabinets down and put the new ones up. It just should have been that simple, right? But of course, it wasn't that simple. We had to redo the floor, not only in our kitchen, but our family room and our dining room, because it's all joined together. We had to move a wall and take out a window and move and put a new window in. We had to scrape. I remember one day, hours of me scraping the ceiling of all the asbestos stuff, because you couldn't have that in a new kitchen, right? I mean, it just went on and on. One thing led to another. And if you've had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this is so true in our spiritual lives. God comes in, and he just puts his finger on one thing. You've lost me. So.
You turned it off.
Huh? I didn't do anything, so I'll just do this. See if I can be ambidextrous here. Can you hear me? Okay. We'll try, and then they'll get me another mic, maybe. When God comes in, he'll touch one thing, and it sounds so simple. Peter is just such a great example of this. You know, we always hear this story about Jesus coming, and he says, follow me, and they all say okay and they go, but really he kind of tricked Peter because he started by saying to Peter, hey, can I borrow your boat? And he gets in the boat and borrows Peter's boat, and then he says, hey, why don't you put your nets on the other side? And I love this story. You've got the story in your notes, by the way. I'm not going to read it, but I love the story because Peter just, I can see him rolling his eyes and going, okay, master, whatever you say, we've only been fishing all night, but if you say so, we'll do it. And of course, then there's all these fish, and Peter throws himself on the ground. Oh, depart from me, Lord, I'm sinful. I can't even look at you anymore. And then Jesus says, don't be afraid. He says, just follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men or people. And it says, and then when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. For Peter, it started so simple. He had no idea what he was getting into. And for me, this is true. And this, the story I'm going to share is from many years ago. I have to figure out how to do this with one hand. I felt like Jesus was inviting me to know him as he really was. And the way he laid it on my heart is he said, you've known me as I am to you. How I help you, how I serve you, how I need you, on and on. And I felt like he was saying, I want you to know me, who I am. If you didn't even exist, who would I be? And so I started, it sounded so simple and it sounded so wonderful. But it took me on a journey that began to tear my heart apart because God got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I got smaller and smaller and smaller. And I was humbled, and I came to realize a lot of the things I thought I understood about God were wrong, about his need of me, about what I could do for him. I began to understand that grace was something I had never gotten before. And it just started simply, but one thing led to another. And for each of us, this is the case. The second thing is it takes a community. Now, this we all know this. We can't do it by ourselves. I should give you the picture. You might recognize a few people in there. I have kids and grandkids and nephews and nieces and brothers and family members. Many of you came and helped us, but you know, honestly, we didn't know what all it was going to take. The thing is, when you do these kinds of things, you don't know what you don't know, right? And it's the same with heart renovation. We don't know what we don't know, and we desperately need people who can speak into our lives. And let me just say, when it's this wrecking ball kind of time, you don't need 100 people. You just need a couple of people, maybe 3 or 4. You know, for me, Joe was really critical at this time in my life. But there were others of you who will know who you are, who spoke into my life. But I remember one time in particular when I had just been so continually humbled by the Lord that he basically silenced me. Now, if you know me, that's pretty unusual. I mean, I'm the one who grew up with my mom saying I talk to hear the sound of my own voice. But I literally found the Lord just wasn't letting me talk much. And a woman of faith came into our lives about that time. Some of you know her. Her name was Joy Dawson. And God brought her into this church really as a gift to help us learn how to hear his voice. But she mainly ministered to Joe, and we had her and her husband, Jim, to our house for meals and lots of things like that, and we went places with them. But I almost never said anything. And one day, she just looked at me, and she said, you're awfully quiet. And I think she thought that was my personality, and I said, I didn't even know what to say because I was afraid I'd burst into tears. And I just said, God's humbling me. And she just stopped and looked right at me the way only Joy Dawson could do. She looked me right in the eyes and she said, that's a good thing. And it just was such an encouragement to me that it's okay, that what I was going through, it was okay. And we desperately need the family of God when we're going through this kind of thing. The third thing is, it's going to get messy. And then it's going to get messier. You know, if you've ever done any of this kind of remodeling, You'll know what I felt like when it was just one thing after another. And at some point, I wanted you to see how bad it looked. At some point, it felt like every room in our house was full of stacks of things. And our patio. Everything was stacked up. There was dust on everything, and I couldn't clean it because they were going to come in and make another mess the next day. And I remember, I even put this on Facebook, is sometimes you wonder, why did I ever start this? Do I really want to be doing this? And you wish you could go back, but you really can't once you've torn out all those cabinets, can you? And I kind of wanted to just stop the whole thing at times. And sometimes when we're following Jesus, it feels that way. We just feel like, whoa, I wish I could put on the brakes. I wish I could go back to an easier time. But there's no going back. I remember this time in my own life when I had been just going through this, and my first book had come out, and I'd started to get invitations to speak. And so I got asked to speak at a little church that was in the area, and they didn't ask me till like the last minute, but I thought, well, I can do this because, you know, it's local. But the whole time, it was really frustrating. They never gave me any information. They didn't communicate well. And when I got there, nobody talked to me. Nobody showed me where my room was. In fact, there wasn't a room. I was in a dorm with everybody else. And don't you know, speakers are supposed to have their own room. I mean, these are all the things going through my mind. I'm just being very honest. And the director finally found me that afternoon. She said, she went through the service. She says, by the way, Saturday night, we don't need you to talk. And she said, we're going to have communion, and we do a very special time. We don't really need you to talk that night. And I'm sitting there thinking, now she tells me. And so I got alone with the Lord. I knew I had to get this right in my heart because I was pretty frustrated. But I kept thinking, now why didn't she tell me before? I wouldn't have spent all that time getting that talk ready. And as I was sitting there, I had back then it was a CD player, and my CD player was playing, and this song, some of you will recognize, came on. It went like this. It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. And as soon as that began to play, I was reduced to a total puddle of tears. And I thought, I don't even know why God even asked me to come here. Why would he ever want me to speak with all this junk in my heart? This was a demolition the Lord was doing. The next morning, on a Sunday morning, we did have communion, by the way, and it was beautiful, and it ministered to me. And the next morning, as women shared, one by one, they shared of what communion had meant to them. They didn't share about how all the brilliant truths I shared in my talks. They shared what communion had done because Jesus met them there. And as I sat there, the Lord, by his Spirit, just spoke to me and said, Tricia, I can do more in one communion service than you can do in 1,000 talks. It's not about you. It was a really, really messy time. Peter also knew what it meant to feel a messy time. He had a wrecking ball come into his life, but it began when Jesus asked this wonderful question of him and the disciples. He said, who do you say that I am? And remember who got it right? Peter. He said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, you didn't figure this out yourself. The Spirit of God revealed it to you. And can you imagine how proud he felt? He got it right. In front of all the other disciples, the master had said that to him. But it's only a few verses later. Jesus is telling the disciples, look, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. And Peter pipes up, like he always does, and says, no, 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 master, that will never happen. And what did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind, how'd you like to have Jesus say that to you? Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking about God's interests. You're thinking about people's interests. He was getting the wrecking ball coming in. And we know then that he went to those final days and again was absolutely certain he would never deny Christ, but he did three times. And we find him there on the streets of Jerusalem, weeping bitterly. And I suspect that he questioned why he had ever followed in the first place. I suspect he had doubts, big doubts. Have you ever really asked yourself if you could walk away, those of you who are following Jesus? I hope you have, because he's a big enough God for you to ask that question. And if you can't ask it, your faith isn't big enough. There have been a few times in my life where my doubts were huge. Even recently when I went back to school and my very first class, the professor said, oh, they believed in divine revelation in the Middle Ages. And I sat there thinking, oh my goodness, nobody around here believes like I do. They'll think I'm crazy. And I began to say, God, is this true? Is this stuff really true? And there have been moments when the struggle of trying to let him have control was so great. I wished, just like with that kitchen remodel, I could go back to the start. Some of Jesus' disciples did that as well. And when they left, Jesus turned to them and said this, you don't want to leave me too, do you? And Peter answered, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words to eternal life. And for me, when I've asked this question, could I walk away? Every single time, this is the answer I've come back to. Where would I go, Lord? I've been out there. I know there's no life anywhere else. I know. But you have the words of life. So whatever doubts I have, however much struggle, however messy it gets, I can't leave. I couldn't leave if I wanted to. Because he has the words of life and they hold me. They hold me to him. It's going to get messy and then it's going to get messier. And that leads me to my final point, which is that in the end, it is worth it. In the end, it is worth it. Now, every morning, Joe and I get up, and we come into our kitchen and look around. I don't know when that'll stop. We go to our little coffee bar, and we get our coffee, and we say, how did we ever get such an amazing gift? And I didn't have time. Joe wanted me to tell the story. I didn't have time this morning, but literally this was a gift. The things God did, the miracles he did. So we know it's just something he let us have. And every day it's like that. And I have to say that in following Jesus, no matter how difficult, no matter how many doubts come our way, in the end, I want you to know from this vantage point, it is worth it. And really, there's two things that God does in the midst of our renovation process that I think make it worth it. One of them is that he meets us where we're at. He meets us where we're at. I love the story of Peter for this. There's three ways we know this. Number one, when Jesus was raised from the dead and Mary Magdalene met him at the tomb, he said to her, go and tell his disciples and Peter. And I believe he wanted to be sure Peter knew. He named his name. Even though he denied him so brutally, he said, tell Peter that I've come back. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that Jesus appeared to Cephas, or Peter, and then to the 12. That is a story I can't wait to get to heaven to hear, because the Bible doesn't tell it. All we know is that somewhere along the line, Jesus and Peter had a little conversation. I just love that. Jesus will seek you out. He will call you by name. He will meet you where you're at, no matter how you feel, no matter what you think you've done or haven't done. He'll meet you in that place, and that's what makes it worth it. I love the story of Simon Peter out in the water then one day. He'd gone back to his boats. I'm not sure what he was thinking. And Jesus came, and you know what he did? He did the exact same miracle that he did when he called him. He told him, put your nets on the other side. And they drew up all these fish. This time Peter didn't argue, he just did it. And it says, when Peter realized it was the Lord, he threw his robe off, jumped in the water, and went to him as fast as he could. Jesus sought him out. That's the first thing Jesus will do in your time of renovation. But the second thing that he does is he uses the renovation of your heart to make space for himself. You see, I wanted more of Jesus, but there was just too much of me there. There was so much self-confidence, so much self-righteousness, so much self-reliance. And he had to get rid of that because there was no space for him in there. And when Jesus renovates our hearts, he takes us apart, but then he builds us back up. And when he does, we're more like him. And there's room for him to reveal himself in all his beauty, in all his wonder, in all his perfections. He makes space for us to see him. He makes space for us to experience his power. I'll finish with this story. I was at a retreat, probably the next one after the one I told you about. And I thought I'd kind of learned my lesson, and so I had prepared bare outlines of talks and said, okay, Lord, it's you and me. I can't do this by myself. But when I got up there, I couldn't find my talks. And I literally panicked. You know, I could do this now, but back then, this terrified me. And so I went, we didn't have cell phones. I went to a payphone, got a hold of Jonathan, who was in high school, and I told him where to go on at my desk, and he got them, and he read me my points, and I wrote them down on a tablet so I'd be prepared to give these talks. My head's a little thick sometimes, but I got through Friday night. I got through Saturday morning. I got through Saturday night, but as I was going to bed and thinking about what I was going to share the next morning, the Lord just basically spoke to me and said, you're not going to share that. And I said, okay, Lord, I've learned my lesson. What do you want me to share? And he said, I'll tell you when you need to know. That's not something any speaker ever wants to hear the Lord say. I don't care. And so I got up in the morning. I got up an hour early. I said, okay, I'm going to get it now. I'll tell you when you need to know. So I went to the service. I'm sitting through the service, all the worship. The final song, I'm saying, Lord, it's almost time. I think I need to know now. And he gave me one verse. So I looked it up real quick. I was trying to come up with points in my mind, but as I was trying to come up with points, they called me up there. So I got up, and all I did was explain what was going on. And I read the verse. It was a verse in Hebrews. And I think I said one thing about it, and I sat down. It was less than 8 minutes. When all that ended, the retreat speaker came up to me. She said, Trisha, I didn't tell you this, but that verse is the verse the Lord gave our committee the first time we ever met. And what you've just done is plant faith in the hearts of a bunch of women that really needed to know that they could hear God. See, God made space for his power. And that's what he does when he renovates our hearts. Now, you may be going through a wrecking ball time. You may not. You may have been through one. You will be through one in the future if you're following Jesus. But wherever you're at in the journey, there is something God wants to do for you. And so I asked our worship team just to be prepared to lead us in worship at the end. And what we're going to do, we're just going to worship for a while, sing songs. You can just sit there and be quiet and enjoy the quietness and the sense of God's presence. But our prayer teams and our altar prayer ministry people are going to be all around, up here and around. And all, if you want prayer for anything, you don't even have to be a follower of Jesus. If you want prayer for anything, they will pray for you. And we believe prayer works because God loves to provide for his children that he created. And so during this time, you can go up and get prayer, or you can just enjoy the worship. But I do want to say God wants to meet you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at in the journey, he wants to meet you. And we're going to do that now through worship.